This is the Unstoppable Authors Podcast with worldbuilding warrior Angeline Trevina,
planning and productivity powerhouse Holly Line,
and formatting fireball Julia Scott.
Every week we bring you discussions on the craft of writing,
author life and business,
and interviews with some of the industry's most unstoppable authors.
A writer's life doesn't have to be solitary. We're here to bust that myth, support you on your journey, and encourage you to be unstoppable.
Welcome to episode 194 of the Unstoppable Authors Podcast. Today we are letting loose and airing all of our pet peeves.
Oh yeah. But before we get into that, it's personal update and accountability time because it's the end of the month, guys.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
I can't remember what I said I'd do in
June. I'm pretty July. Sure. Wait, you month? Said you June. Were going to publish your book.
Yeah. And I did.
Yay!
I achieved something. I'm excited that I get to actually say that. I finally finished the book formatting formula, mm-hmm. and it is available in paperback and ebook. And I'm so happy it's done. And I can stop talking about it. Well, I won't stop talking about it. You know, I have to convince people to buy it. So yeah, go buy my book. Yay!
Yay! Yeah.
But awesome. Yeah, apart from that, I'm now in rest mode because I've finished a book and now I just need a bit of a pause to figure out where I'm going to go next. I know where I'm going to go next. I'm going to be writing Dream On, which is my next sci-fi fiction novel. So yeah, that I don't really have a goal for July, even though I totally should.
I think it's important to rest after publishing a book.
Yeah, it is. No, I have, you know, I've been working with Holly, as I've said before, on goal setting and stuff and figuring out what works best for me. And I know that doing like big word count days works best for me. So I'm going to be looking through my calendar soon and picking out days that I think might work well to give those a go. And yeah, I'm excited to write fiction again, to be honest. It's been a while. Yeah.
Cool. So I said that I had map commissions to do through June and to continue writing my cozy fantasy book because I was really enjoying doing that. So yeah, June has been largely tied up with map commissions, which has been great fun. And besides that, I seem to have spent a lot of time doing parenting stuff and a lot of also nothingness. I honestly have no idea where June has disappeared to. I have written more of my cozy fantasy book, but honestly not a lot, not a huge amount at all. I think somebody ate my June. I'm pretty sure that happened. I just don't know where it's gone. Although, if I am completely honest, I think a large amount of this month has been spent lounging around in melodramatic poses, complaining about it being far too hot.
Oh, it's going to get hotter, I'm afraid.
I know.
This weekend's going to be a bit of a blazer, yeah.
Oh, I know.
Wow. Yeah. I just have a hard relate to all of that, really, Ange. I don't quite, and I know I say this every single month, where did the month go? So I said I was going to keep working on Shifts of London using AI to assist. I did do some of that in the first like week or 10 days. I haven't touched my fiction in a good couple of weeks. But I've been running a live round of goal setting for writers, which is, you know, has been fantastic. That's taken up quite a lot of my time. And I've been doing a lot of music. And that's ramping up because I'm now forming a new band. We're writing some original songs and I'm playing a carnival in 2 weeks to a crowd of like 3,000, which is absolutely petrifying. So yeah, the writing just hasn't really been happening, but I'm at peace with that. I feel quite like I'm just in a different season right now. And you know, it's not forever. I'm sure I'll write more again, but it's just, yeah, I'm doing other things at the moment and other things that are making me really happy. So
that's good.
Yeah. Very important.
Yeah. So yeah.
Brilliant. So coming up soon is our monthly session of Sprints and Giggles, which is open to all of our listeners. So just be sure to check your email if you're on our mailing list or our Facebook group for the link to join. We'll be sprinting and having a laugh on Wednesday, the 28th of June.
Yeah, and we hope to see you there.
And our main topic today is pet peeves. We are going to say all the things that we don't say normally. In fact, I think we've probably said a lot of these things before.
I was going to say, I think we're all quite open people who don't mind offending.
To a certain extent, anyway. But it's quite nice to, you know, collect all of these things in one place and just have a really good rant, because sometimes you need that. And last week we produced quite a heavy, long episode, so this is just a bit more lighthearted and
short.
Yes. Shorter giggle.
Everything is said in jest.
Is it though?
Mostly.
Officially, yes.
Okay. All right, Angeline, why don't you kick us off?
Okay, so our first pet peeve, and I think you may have heard this one from us before, is seriously, in every single publishing forum, authors group, why is vellum the offered answer to every question ever? Sometimes people actually ask a question that has nothing to do with formatting books, and somebody will still be like, oh, yeah, you should get vellum.
Oh, and then they add on, yeah, but you'll need to buy a Mac first, because it only works on Mac.
Yeah.
Officially.
Yeah. And all right, yes, there's Mac and cloud, blah, 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 blah. And people will always be quick to be like, oh, just because you know, like, don't let having a PC hold you back. But the number of times you see people say, oh, I got a refurbished Mac, it was like a third of the price and worth every penny, blah, 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 just so I could have vellum. I'm like, I'm really happy for you that you have the disposable income to do that, but not everyone does. So,
and the space on your desk,
right?
Right? Like, I have a laptop and a Chromebook. Actually, at the moment, right now, as we're recording, they are both open on my desk, and that's it. I don't have space for anything else.
And there is always the alternative of Atticus. So hopefully the word Atticus will replace it. But we'll be happy about it.
Yeah, it's good to have an alternative to, you know, when when I say someone, it's always like eight people always pounce and go, vellum, vellum, vellum. We can, you know, go, or Atticus.
Which is cheaper. It's cheaper and it does more. But then I'm a fan, so I would say that.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you want to learn more about Atticus and vellum, just pick up the book Formatting Formula by Julia Scott and you'll learn all you need to know.
Great plug. Well done.
I love Thank you. That.
It was just too easy.
Yeah, low hanging fruit.
Yeah. So my next pet peeve is, please stop gatekeeping indie publishing. One of the joys of indie publishing is the lack of gatekeepers. Gatekeepers in the publishing industry since the dawn of publishing have silenced minority voices. So finally, we have less gatekeeping and minority voices are being heard. Yet I still see a lot of gatekeeping in the indie scene, particularly around economics.
Mm-hmm.
People saying, oh my goodness, you cannot possibly publish a book without having a professional editor. Of course, that is the ideal. But when you're saying that, you are silencing working class voices, which have been silenced throughout all of history. Please stop gatekeeping indie publishing. There are ways to do a very, very high quality book without spending thousands of pounds on it. If you would like to know how to do that, please message me on social media. I have a million different ways. I can talk you through how to do indie publishing on a shoestring budget. Please, please, please never, never let the gatekeepers stop you from publishing. There is no gatekeeping in indie publishing. Okay? Please stop making it up.
You can tell she's passionate about this point.
This is like my number one passion point.
I know, I can tell.
Yeah. And I'm sure we've done episodes talking about that before,
we have.
Like whole episodes. Yep. So
we have.
Check our backlist. We have 193 previous episodes.
Yeah, and while we're all on that subject, stop it with the genre snobbery. I'm so bored of it. I think probably romance authors get it worse than us. Sci-fi, horror, and fantasy authors, we get it too. We get the, but it, genre fiction is just escapism. Exactly! Exactly, yes, that is. You're right, correct, well done, congratulations. But it's still damn hard to write, as is romance. Oh my goodness, I have so much respect for romance writers, especially like erotica writers, because I cannot write that at all. You have like skills that I do not possess. So can we stop with the genre snobbery, please?
I also wish, on the subject of romance, I wish they would stop calling it clean romance. Because it makes, you know, erotic things sound dirty and wrong, which really
and they're not.
No.
Don't, yeah, stop shaming. But I was, there was actually a recent conversation about this in a Facebook group, and they were all trying to come up with words to use other than clean, and in the end they just couldn't find one, because like wholesome is like just as grotesque a word, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it was like, what can we say? And there was no consensus in the end. I know it is a hard one, but yeah, that word clean does suggest the opposite.
Yeah.
Yeah, tricky. I wish I had an answer to that, because
yeah, we need a new phrase. So get your thinking caps on.
Just low spice, no spice. It's easy.
Yeah.
There. All right, Julia solved it. All right, jump in.
I don't know why everyone should just be listening to me.
Absolutely. And yeah, this is what I've ranted about before, maybe a few times. But I still see people saying that indie publishing is their B plan, or like their easier option. They're like, I'm going to try for 2 years to get a traditional publishing deal, and if I can't, then I guess I'll just self-publish.
Mm-hmm.
No, yeah. It is not an easy option. I really want to say a really rude word here, but I don't think we do that. It is beeping hard. It is not your B plan. It is not your easy option. It is not your like last ditch attempt. It is blooming difficult, because when you're an indie author, you're not an author. You're actually a publishing business. You are opening a publishing house.
Mm-hmm. Yep. 100%.
It's not easy.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose it does depend on your goals. And mm-hmm. Of course, I would say that. And what your strengths are. Yeah. Like I know someone, wonderful, wonderful person who just wants to share her stories. She's not really bothered about making money and making it into a business, in which case it can be easy. It can be really straightforward and low stress. But if you are trying to make money at it, if you are making a career out of this, yes, it's a lot of work. And on a related note, one of my biggest pet peeves is people who think that if they get a trad deal, they'll be able to just write. Mm. They have this fantasy that they can just spend long days just writing and never have to worry about running a business. It ain't that way. Not anymore, if it ever was. No. You will have to market yourself. No traditional publisher is going to market you as a debut author without a proven name. So when you first get that deal, if you can get one in the first place, you are going to have to work really hard at building a platform and putting yourself out there, because the trad publisher will not put a single penny behind you. You've got to do it yourself.
You are the brand as well.
Yeah.
And it revolves around you, not the publisher anymore.
Mm-hmm. I can't understand how these myths are still perpetuating, and I still see it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
Yeah. My next one is, it's not really to do with publishing or writing in particular, but it's a literary pet peeve that drives me crazy. And it came up on a on a group call recently that I was on with Shane, someone talked about the Lord of the Rings trilogy, talking about the book, not the films. And I'm sitting there like hiding my face, trying not to laugh. And Shane was like, I know what you're thinking. Yeah. Lord of the Rings is one book, people. It is one book. It was written in volumes, yes, but it is one book. It is not a series. Stop getting this wrong, because it's very annoying.
It's very upsetting to Holly, clearly.
I take it very personally.
Very personally, as though she wrote it herself.
Oh, and breathe.
Oh, I love it.
Do you feel better?
Yeah, but I'm still going to have to say it every couple of months.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying this. I'm just going to sit back and listen to you two rant. This is so much fun.
So, this is something that I spotted on Instagram recently, where somebody was listing possible character flaws that you might like to attribute to your characters. And one of the ones they put up was shyness and social awkwardness. Not a flaw. Being shy is not a character flaw. Being socially awkward, being an introvert, these are not character flaws. Please, they are not. We're great people.
Yeah.
And we're capable of amazing stuff, even though, you know, we are who we are because we're these things, not in spite of them. It's yes. Not a flaw.
Celebrate our weird, awkward shyness, please. I mean, I can sort of see where people are coming from with it, because in our society, which is very much geared towards extroverts, it can hold you back if you are introverted or shy, or and also not the same thing. So in that sense, it can, I get it can be a flaw, but it's not a bad thing. It's not a negative trait.
No.
It's just sometimes difficult in our culture to be that way.
And that's a fault with the culture, not with
right?
Us.
Exactly.
Julia just sitting there laughing.
Yeah.
I just agree.
So obviously Angie was saying about no gatekeepers, please. And I wholeheartedly agree. But I hate authors putting out books that haven't been proofread. Like, you know, you don't have to spend a fortune on proofreading.
There are ways.
Yes, get a friend to do it. Get, you know, do a skill swap with another author or an editor, mm-hmm. or something. Like, there are ways to do it. Please don't put books out that haven't been proofread. I recently trimmed my TBR. I got rid of a bunch of books that I had decided, you know what, I've had these for years. I'm never going to read them. I'm just going to be realistic. And I put them in a pile. And Andy, my other half, was like, well, before they go, I'll read them. He's working his way through them.
Wow.
And like every single one, pretty much, he's been like, oh god, it's riddled with typos. It's like, or it's got these are print books, because I only read in print. Mm. They've got contents pages with no page numbers.
Why?
Because people use their ebook file and put it straight as their print file.
That hurts me deep.
The formatting for ebook and print is and should always be different.
Very, very different.
And like, we understand every single book, even every trad book you pick up, will have a few typos in it. Like one or two, maybe mm-hmm. three or four. But yeah, when you're getting like six per page.
Yeah. Or like consistently using the wrong form of your or their. Mm. Or like, so we all have our things. We all have things we're not great at and that wouldn't get picked up on a spell check. But if someone competent proofreads it, they'll catch that stuff. So please get another pair of eyes on your book before you publish it.
Even Pro Writing Aid would catch that kind of thing, which can be a great alternative, or an alternative Grammarly or whatever else is out there.
Definitely. And on a similar note, publishing print books is an afterthought. So not putting any attention, any care into producing a good quality print book. Mm. Print is still the dominant form of book on not just on the planet, but even in like the developed world, even in the UK and the US, more people read print than ebooks. It is like it's not an afterthought. It should not just be a, oh yeah, I better do a print book. Let's chuck the same file I used for my ebook and stick it on Amazon. No, look, God, please.
It's painful.
Think of us. Think of those of us who still, you know, Luddites that we are, who still in print. We deserve books that are, you know, legible.
And pretty.
Yes. So if you're not sure how to do that, pick up your copy of the book formatting formula by Julia Scott.
This is just going to become a book formatting formula.
Ad. It's a long ad, long form ad. Yeah, definitely. Content marketing, Julia. Come on.
I know, I love it. carry on. I have plenty of formatting pet peeves. Yeah, loads.
Like share using. Some. Go for it.
Just, I keep seeing, and this is to do with book covers as well, but I keep seeing the same font everywhere. And it's driving me up the goddamn wall.
We've heard this a lot.
It's called Sinzel/Sinzel Decorative. And literally, I could jump onto Instagram right now and find you five books with that font on it. And yeah, I never want to see it again, ever. But it just screams.
You will.
It screams self-published book because it's free. It's a free font. And so a lot of the cover designers are using it, and so they're using it, you know, in interior formatting as well to go well with the cover. And I'm like, no, please. I wrote about it in the book formatting formula actually, because I was like, please stop using this, dear cover designers, stop.
Because I consider myself a little bit of a font nerd, but yeah, Julia is like light years ahead of me. Like, she can pick up any book and just tell you what font is on the cover. It is not remarkable.
Well,
no, it is amazing. You have like
I can with indie books.
Astounded
because,
me.
Well, it's because they're all the free fonts and I've seen them all. So, you know, I've used half of them because they're free. But yeah, no, it just gets to me. There's so many fonts out there in the world. That's the thing. It's like there are thousands and thousands. Yeah, you might have to pay 20 quid for one, but at least it won't look like everyone else's book. But then Holly made the point of you want it to look like everyone else's book because you want to fit into your genre. And yeah, well.
Yeah, but there are ways to do that without just, you know, using the same font that everyone else is. Because there are, like you said, there are thousands, but there are only so many to write a letter A, you know. So you can get one that's similar that kind of carries that
vibe,
familiarity without just being the exact same thing.
Or if you've got a good cover designer, they can actually adapt the font and change certain letters, or indeed build their own font,
or you use two fonts.
You can build your own font.
I've seen a cover designer who did the capitals in one font and the rest in another, and it looked really good. Anyway,
yeah. All right, this is another one of mine. And obviously I'm biased because I'm a discovery writer. However, I am so sick of outlining snobbery.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so, like, apparently it goes both ways. Like, this is what they say. And I have seen discussions, you know, on the internet where people from sort of both sides will say they feel judged for the way they, you know, do or don't.
Outliners,
plotters. Yeah. However, I've never actually seen discovery writers being outright mean to plotters. You know, they might say something like, "Oh, trying to outline would take the joy out of it for me," which is they're just talking about themselves, right? They're not trying to impose what they do on anyone else. Outliners, not all outliners, but some outliners seem to almost be on a mission to make everyone else do it the same way they do. If someone says, "Oh, this, you know, this book is taking me so long," they'll be like, "Well, have you tried outlining? Because that'll speed things up for you." No, not necessarily.
I tried it. It slowed me down.
It slows me right down as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. And it's not just outlining, right? Your method that works for you is your method. And it works for you. That's brilliant. Well done for finding what works for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to work for everyone. So no, whether it's outlining or what, whatever writing method you use, please don't try and impose it on other people. You can suggest it and say, "This worked for me. Maybe you could try this." but don't be like, this will speed you up.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's just not the case for everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. And just assuming that someone's problem is because they didn't outline, it's just, no, it's not true. One day I will get around to writing the book. I do desperately want to write the book, but it's just, life. But yeah, speaking of outlines and plots and story structure, I'm just going to say it. I have hedged around this for like the last year.
You have.
I'm just going to say it. I'm going to swear, guys. I can't not swear in this context. The heroine's journey is bullshit. There, I said it. I'm putting my soapbox here. I've read the book and I'm familiar with the original concept of the hero's journey. I admittedly have not read, you know, the Joseph Campbell, you know, Man of a Thousand Faces. I haven't actually read the book, but I'm very familiar with the hero's journey. I'm familiar with all of the examples used in the book, The Heroine's Journey. And it's cherry picked. It's 100% cherry picked to create, to like back up a hypothesis. And I don't like that. That rubs me the wrong way. Everything that she talks about as being part of the heroine's journey is actually part of the hero's journey. Every single thing. But she's got an agenda.
Basically.
Yeah. So and it drives me mad that so many people are so like, oh my God, the heroine's journey, it's changed my life. It's amazing. It's the best thing. I'm very happy that it works for you, but please be aware it's not any different to the hero's journey. Actually, it's part of the same bundle of tropes. Okay. All right. There we go.
I love it. And our next pet peeve is definitely a joint one, and I'm pretty sure this has been said before. People, please listen. YA is not a genre, right?
It's even in the name, young adult.
Young adult is not a genre. It is your target market, because you can have YA fantasy, YA romance, YA mystery, YA horror. All of the other genres you can write with young adults as your target market. YA itself is not a genre. Yeah, we might have said that before.
Yeah. And it just winds me up because it's one of those really persistent things. And
it's
even though
so
like,
persistent.
I point it out to people and I go, oh yeah. And then I'll see an Instagram post of theirs like 2 days later repeating YA. My books, why it's YA in genre. I'm like, no!
The genre of YA. No.
I see people say, my favorite genre is YA.
Oh.
It's like, that's like saying, my favorite genre is adult books.
That has connotations, like, though, doesn't it?
It does, but nobody would say that. No. Nobody says, oh yeah, the genre I write is books for adults.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you can say that you write for children's yeah. books. And that kind of is a distinct genre, especially at the younger end, the picture books, because genre doesn't really come into it there. It's mm-hmm. much more generic across the age range. But YA is pretty clear. Like, you have very clear different genres within the YA market.
Even middle grade is the same, but people don't use middle grade in the same way, pretending that it's a singular genre. I don't see it. Maybe it's just because it's not as well known a collection of books, or it's slightly newer, but I don't see people going, oh yeah, my favorite genre is middle grade. And actually, middle grade authors are writing things like I write middle grade adventure books. I write middle grade fantasy books. And I actually see that, not just I write middle grade.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah. YA, not a genre.
One of my pet peeves is when authors will change the size of a book mid-series. They will start with 6x9 books, and then all of a sudden they'll decide, I don't know, we're going to go to 5.5 by 8.5. Or they'll have like a trilogy out in one size and they'll bring out related novellas in a different size. I can't stand it. I want every single book on my shelf to be the same height, but I mean, it's never going to happen. But like in a series.
Yeah.
And I feel like I've decided as an author, I'm just going to keep the same size book forever. I'm sticking
Same.
to it. All of my books are going to be that size, whether you like it or not.
Yeah. And you know, this trad publishers do that as well, and they'll change the covers halfway through a series. Like, we've got so many series on our bookcases that where the cover convention changed in the middle, and
Oh,
it's painful for
yeah.
both of us, because we like things to be matching.
Yeah, totally.
And the other thing that I see in trad pub a lot is ARC copies are a different size. So I have a trilogy of books where the first one, I received an ARC copy of the first one, and the other two I didn't. So I just bought them and they're frigging different sizes.
Oh, painful. Oh.
Oh. Oh.
It's just not
No.
necessary.
It's not.
Yeah, because they'll have had to pay for different covers, different formatting. Like,
It's really weird, but yeah, please don't upset our bookshelves. We like pretty bookshelves.
yeah.
And I do wish every author of a series would put the book number somewhere really visible on the book so that you know if it's the first or the second or the third. Because that doesn't happen often enough for my liking.
Yeah, I do. I really hate that when you have to go hunting through the blurb to try and figure out what number book it is in the series.
I had another one pop in my head and now it's disappeared again. Oh, brain.
It's always the way, isn't it?
Yeah. So we were talking about trad publishing and book sizes, and right, it'll come to me in a minute. Carry on.
Well, have we got any more pet peeves that we want to air? Now is your chance. I think I've ranted myself out.
Yeah, that one isn't going to come back to me in time.
Okay.
No.
Well, I have a fun would you rather question,
Okay.
which ChatGPT has written. Well, actually,
You've got
it's
lazy, Angeline.
right.
Now that you know.
You know what? I actually feel quite sorry for my ChatGPT, who, by the way, has called itself Alex.
Oh,
Yeah. So mine is called Alex. Yeah, he's like,
you've got a name now. Yay. He or she, Alex, could be male or female.
definitely he. He is like cutting edge AI technology, and he's being made to write silly would you rather questions. Poor thing. Okay, so would you rather have a magical mute button that instantly silences anyone annoying around you, but it also plays circus music really loudly, or have a personal force field that repels anyone who annoys you, but you can only activate it by doing an embarrassing dance?
Wow.
I could have never come up with
No.
that. Wow.
They don't listen, so
That's
I
really
think
specific, yeah.
I'm gonna have to go with the mute button because I have children who like to come and talk at me.
Does the music like carry on the whole time, or is it just like an intro?
I don't know. Alex does not specify, but I think probably it plays circus music the entire time that you've muted that annoying person.
Oh yeah, no, I'll do the silly dance.
Yeah, I think I'd do that as well.
Yeah, because then it's just a one and done.
Yeah, and it repels them.
Yes, you don't even have to engage. Yeah, I'm
Sends
here
them
for
away. Yeah, I
that.
can see the value in that, but
I mean, I wouldn't want to repel my kids. Not too
I'm on
often
the
anyway.
fence about that.
Oh.
Wow. Well, that was cool. Okay, so that brings us to the end of the episode. So yeah, done. Don't forget to share the podcast online and tag us on social media. We're on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Just search for Unstoppable Authors and maybe come let us know what your pet peeves are.
I definitely want to know what everyone's pet peeves are.
Yeah, please do. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Unstoppable Authors Podcast. We'll be back next week with more of our tenacity and worldly wisdom.
Don't forget to visit our website to get the show notes and heaps of helpful blog articles at unstoppableauthors.com.
And join our Guild of Unstoppable Authors, and you will not only hear from us every week, but you will also get a free digital copy of my book, 30 Days of Worldbuilding.
If you enjoyed the episode, please remember to subscribe and leave a review.
It's very funny. And Alex, I'm really sorry I make you write poop pancake poems.